السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We had discussed that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he had heard this voice speaking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he came to Makkah Mukarramah, he returned home, then he realized that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has now announced his nubuwwat. So no matter how arrogant a man may be, he cannot fail to submit to the truth. If he tries to ignore it, his conscience will continue to trouble him until he either believes in it or he dies, thus saving himself from the stirrings of his conscience. If he dies, then now his conscience can't trouble him anymore. But for, as long as the person is alive, if he knows something is true, he's going to keep troubling his conscience. Allah Ta'ala has made us like that. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's quick response was not based on foolishness or rashness. Rather, it was based on certainty and yaqeen, which left no room for doubt. He thought about this new call calmly, as was his way in all things. And he found that it was a call to virtue, a call to shun immorality. Now, when we're reading these words, then we must take a sabak that what is our deen? Like how is explaining that it was a call to virtue. So am I coming on to virtue? It's a call to shun immorality. Have I shunned immorality? It is a call towards Tawheed and a warning against Shirk. It is a call to worship Allah Ta'ala and a warning against Ghaflat. It is a call to good morals and a warning against bad morals. Then he looked at his people and saw them worshipping idols, eating carrion, dead meat, mistreating their neighbors, regarding as permissible forbidden things, regarding murder as permissible. But Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sincere. He was trustworthy. He knew nothing but good about him. And he never heard anything bad about him. He was never known to tell a lie or commit any act of treachery. He was calling for the worship of Allah alone, with no partner, no associate. He was calling for the upholding of family ties. In the very early days of Islam, from then, already the call for upholding of family ties was there. So, to uphold family ties, what is the real meaning of upholding family ties? In this zamana, upholding of family ties, we have reduced it to having a family get together, right? Which in inverted commas is just one big party. And our hearts have become so small that we can't even have it in our homes anymore. Because who's going to clean up over here? So, we must book one venue, call the whole family, and then they must pay also. We must all pay. Now, sometimes the old people say, but then, how will you get to meet everybody, you know? We must do it like this. They too get very happy because the whole family is coming together. But sometime in that type of get together, there's a lot of bepardagi. Because now you've got a lot of namahrams, everything. Then sometime there's a lot of israf also. And sometime you're there, but you don't want to be there. people are there, while they're sitting there also, they're talking bad about other family members. You couldn't find any better venue than this. You know, hey, this weekend was my weekend for that. Now they had to come here. So you hear all these kind of talks. So is that really maintaining family ties? Not maintaining family ties. Right? Hazrat Muhammad al-Haq Magda Sahib Daun Barakatuh, he explained it very beautifully, that what is the meaning of maintaining family ties? What it means is you must not have ill feeling towards any family member in your heart. You must not have ill feeling towards any family member of yours in your heart. They are family, Allah Ta'ala made them family. So I mustn't have any ill feeling towards anybody in my heart. Number one. Number two, now obviously according to the qarabat, right? According to how close the person is, and according to what hukuk those people have upon you, now you have to fulfill that. Your wife has a different rights, children have different rights, parents have different rights. So now, if certain rights of theirs are there, you will have to fulfill it. So maintaining family ties doesn't mean you have to phone everybody every week. You have to send one Jummah message every week. You have to now, you know, have one big dawat. You have to feed everybody. It's not about that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling towards the upholding of family ties. But then he was accused of breaking family ties. He was calling to the upholding of family ties. And even Abu Sufyan, in the early days, before he even accepted Islam, later on he became radiallahu anhu. In the court of Hirakal, when Hirakal asked him, what is he calling towards? One of the things he mentioned was upholding of family ties. But then he was blamed for breaking up families. Why? Because obviously some family members accepted his call. In other words, some family members became mu'mineen. Other family members, they remained on kufr. So they were the enemies of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now, they're not seeing eye to eye. Those who accepted Islam and Iman, found them were thrown out of the homes. They're fighting wars now. Father is on one side, son is on the other side. So we learn from there, that unity is not just about everybody being together. Unity is unity in holding the rope of Allah. So unity is on haq. There is no unity in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. So sometimes there's a family, nikah, walima, whatever, but there's guna going to take place there. Or it's happening in a manner that is not in accordance with the sunnah. Your non-attendance may attract the accusations of people that is breaking family ties. But in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, you never break any family ties. In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, there's no breaking of any family ties. The law of Allah Ta'ala comes first. This morning, Abba was reading something. Some person wrote one article that this occasion of Eid and Hajj and all that reminds us of a father willing to sacrifice his son, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, prepared to slaughter his son. Not because they never loved one another, but because they loved Allah Ta'ala more. Father was prepared to slaughter the son. The son was prepared to be slaughtered by the father. Not because they had enmity for one another, but because they loved Allah Ta'ala more. So that's how it is. We're not abstaining from your cousin's walima or nikah or that family gathering or this dawat or whatever because you got enmity for them. No. You're staying away because you love Allah Ta'ala more. You love them also, but you love Allah Ta'ala more. This is why, you see, when you do things with mashwara, then you don't offend too many people. Those who want to be offended now, you can't help it. But most people who got a rational mind won't be offended. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, so now if there is one nikah in the family, and you know now things are going to be upside down. So a week before, a couple of days before, go and visit them. Visit them. If the person who's getting married is mahram or you are mahram to them, then meet the person to speak to them, give them du'as, give them one gift. Right? Take some baking, some cakes, whatever, leave it there too. So they see that, no, a man got no problem with us. Right? He got a problem with what we're doing. So whatever we're doing over there, he doesn't want to be a part of that. But he got no issue with us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was calling towards the kind treatment of neighbors. He was calling towards salah, towards roza, towards not worshipping anything other than Allah Ta'ala. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu became Muslim at the hands of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he persisted in his iman, calling others to Islam in a friendly and patient manner. He was content, forgiving, kind, charitable, compassionate, generous. He was a person who helped the weak and the oppressed. These were Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sifat. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he saw this, he's looking at the contrast. Now look at my people, what they are involved in. Look at what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling towards. Right? And he himself had so many of these sifat in him. Automatically, he made a calculated decision and he accepted Islam. The Muslims rejoiced greatly when Uthman radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. And the bonds of love and brotherhood between him and them were strengthened when Allah Ta'ala honored him with marriage to the daughter of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. What had happened here was, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given her in marriage to Utba bin Abi Lahab. Right? And he had given her sister Kulthum radiallahu anha in marriage to Utayba bin Abi Lahab. Utba and Utayba, both the sons of Abu Lahab. But then, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab wa Tab was revealed, right? Wherein Allah Ta'ala cursed Abu Lahab, right? So when this surah was revealed, instead of them taking, you know, a lesson, making Toba, Allah Ta'ala now has spoken like this about us. So Abu, instead of doing that, see when Allah Ta'ala must protect us from pride, you know. When the pride comes in, then we become bullheaded. Now we can't see anything else. We just, whatever is in our head, that's what. So Abu Lahab and his wife, Jamil, they instructed their sons to leave the daughters of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they separated from them before they had even consummated the marriage. The marriage was not consummated. So No sooner did Uthman radiallahu anhu hear the news of the divorce of Ruqayya radiallahu anha. Now normally when you hear about the divorce of somebody, you are saddened the person got divorced. When he heard about the divorce, he was very happy. He was very happy and he went quickly and he proposed. He went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he proposed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her in nikah to him. And Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha prepared her and presented her to him. Uthman radiallahu anhu was one of the most handsome men of the Quraysh. And Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha competed with him in beauty and grace. It was said to her when she was presented to him that this is the best looking couple anyone has ever seen. Uthman radiallahu anhu and Ruqayya radiallahu anha. It was narrated by Abdul Rahman bin Uthman al-Qurashi that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered, I mean, he went to meet his daughter, and to see his daughter when she was washing the head of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he said, Ya Bunayya, Ahsini ila Abdillah. فَإِنَّهُ أَشْبَهُ أَصْحَابِي بِي خُلُقَ. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes there, Ruqayya radiallahu anha is washing the hair of Uthman radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling her, today's time, if the father go and see his daughter is washing the husband's hair, Mari poiri, summat zulam, they're making on her, therefore I can't bat himself to now. My daughter have to, even wash his hair also. And just let there be some dispute that will come out in the Jamiat office too. My daughter have to make 12 dozen roti plus have to wash his hair too. Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to his daughter, he says, oh my daughter, take good care of Abu Abdullah. He means Uthman radiallahu anhu. He is the closest of my companions in temperament, in his ways, his mannerism, he's the closest to me from all my companions. So take good care of him. Make more khidmat. So she was making khidmat. In other words, he's telling her, you make more khidmat of him. Because the wife's jannat is in the pleasure of the husband, but not in haram. Not when the husband is telling the wife to do wrong. That she mustn't listen. Anything of guna, she mustn't listen. But anything in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, where she can make khidmat of her husband and keep the husband happy, she must go out of her way and make her husband's khidmat. Not that the husband must sit and wait for it too. Husband, he must try and be independent. He must try and be independent, try and do his things himself. Not that he must sit around now and say, right, take out my socks now, take out this now. No, he must try and do his work. What she does from her side, that he must appreciate, he must make dua for her and appreciate it. But even not that he must sit around like one sets up now and want to be served. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to always say, remain a khadim. Don't aspire to be makhdum. Don't aspire that now people must serve you. You rather serve. You rather make khidmat. Make khidmat, serve people. Don't wait now for people to serve you. Don't become makhdum. Ji. So this Abu Lahab and his wife, Umm Jamil, they thought that by divorcing Ruqayya radiallahu anha and Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, they would deal a harsh blow to the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this would weaken them. A father whose daughter gets divorced, he knows what he is going through. It's a big blow to the family. So they thought now this will, you know, break Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's spirit. But Allah Ta'ala chose good for Ruqayya radiallahu anha and Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, which caused a great deal of frustration and anger for Abu Lahab and his wife. They didn't achieve anything. They didn't achieve anything by divorcing. Thus Allah Ta'ala sufficed the household of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against their evil. Allah Ta'ala's decree that all are to be tested. Sometimes a person asks, why this is happening to me? Why that's happening? Can we question the examiner why you put this question? Can't question the examiner why you put this question. Everybody's paper Allah Ta'ala set. Now, tests will come in different forms. Somebody's test is poverty. Imagine, we don't know what his test is. This morning I was reading one article. This youngster, this Israel now, Jewish people and American, so now they meet places where they'll distribute Eid. But a trickle of Eid, now there's so many people that need it, so the people are forced to go there. But when they come there, they're bombing them there too. So this child, the small child, he's saying, now we were hungry, we went there for food. And they bombed us, my mother passed away. So, what a test now for a small child. Starving, went there to get some wheat or some grain or something. And what you get is your mother in a coffin. Mother is bombed. Now what a test. So are we going through tests? What tests are we going through? Everybody's test is different. For some people their test is poverty, hunger, fear. Some people is a death in the family. Some person, something of his may get stolen. Some person, his family may not be agreeing with him. Some person, he got disobedient children. Everybody's test is different. Now, what happens to us is, everything is going right. You know, children, mashallah, they're very good. Wife, mashallah, she's very good. Money too is very good coming in. But now I've got this health problem. Right? I've got this problem. Now, that's your test now. Allah is saying, I'm definitely going to test you. So now that's your test. Another person, his health may be very good. Wealth may be very good. But he got a son who's on drugs. And he's not coming right. Now the parents, sleepless nights. Another person, son is very good, wealth is good, health is good, daughter got divorced. 3 children she got, 4 children she got, now she got divorced. Now that's their test now. How are they going to? So each person will go through different tests at different times. Now if we complain about the test, then that means we don't want to pass. We don't want to pass. We don't ask for the test. Ask for afia. Always ask for afia. Sallallahu alaihi afia. Nabi sallallahu alaihi said, ask Allah Ta'ala for afia. Right? But, in order to progress, there has to be tests. The person is doing a course, you come to the end of the year, you say, no, I don't want to write an exam. So how is it going to go next year now, if you don't write the exam? So Allah tests people. Through the test day, Allah Ta'ala allows for them to progress. Ji. So Allah Ta'ala's decree that all are to be tested is applied constantly to individuals, communities, peoples and nations. This applied to the Sahaba Nonum as well. They too underwent trials and tribulations that would shake the foundations of lofty mountains. A mountain is such powerful makhluk of Allah. But the test Sahaba went through would have shook even mountains if mountains had to be tested like that. They spent their wealth and shed their blood for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And this suffering became as severe as Allah willed that it should be. The prominent Muslims were not spared these trials. Uthman radiallahu anhu was also persecuted and tortured for the sake of Allah Ta'ala at the hands of his paternal uncle, Hakam bin Abdul As bin Umayyah, who caught him and tied him up. And he said to him, "Will you turn away from the religion of your forefathers for a new religion? By Allah, I will not let you go until you give up this religion." Uthman radiallahu anhu said, "By Allah, I will never give it up or leave it." When Hakam saw his steadfastness, he realized, "I'm not going to be able to do anything." Then eventually he released him, let him go. The persecution intensified and affected all the Muslims to such an extent that Sayyidina Yasir radiallahu anhu and his wife Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu anha were even martyred. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was deeply grieved and he wondered where can the Muslims now get some safety, you know, where can they get some protection. Then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam thought of Abyssinia and he said to the Muslims, "Why don't you go away to Abyssinia? For in that land there is a righteous king." Although he was not Muslim, but he was known for justice, that no one is wronged in his land. He was a just person. So the migration began. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saddened to see groups of mu'mineen sneaking out of Makkah Mukarrama, traveling by sea. Some left riding, others left on foot, and they continued until they reached the coast of the Red Sea. Then they appointed Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu as their leader, and by the grace of Allah, he was the Amir now amongst them, and by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, they found two ships on which they embarked in return for half a dinar for each person. Each person had to pay half dinar. The Quraysh found out about that and they set off in hot pursuit. But when they reached the coast, these two ships had already left. See, one is ideologically, they felt they got a problem with Islam. So they didn't want Islam to spread. But you see, when Shaitan takes over, you don't want Islam to spread. So these people are leaving your land, they're going away. Now why are you going behind them? You don't want Islam, you don't want to accept. And those who accept it too, you don't want them to. They too mustn't accept. What for? They're leaving your land, they're going away. Now leave them. When you read this history, you understand the ideology, the mindset of a kafir whose brain is being controlled by shaitan. Now these Muslims in Gaza, so they are there in Gaza, they doing their own thing and carrying on. Right? Why are you still persecuting them? You're troubling them, eventually they retaliate. When they retaliate, now you got a license to now just start killing them. Now you proved your point, but you can't stop. You must carry on killing, one week killing. Among those who had made hijrat during the first and second migration to Abyssinia was Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And on both occasions, he was accompanied by his wife, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha. the daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They arrived in Abyssinia in Rajab in the 5th year after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nubuwat began. They found safety, security, and freedom to engage in ibadat. So Allah Ta'ala speaks of the migration of the early Muslims to Abyssinia. Allah Ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين هاجروا في الله من بعد ما ظلموا لنبوئنهم في الدنيا حسنة ولأجر الآخرة أكبر لو كانوا يعلمون. As for those who emigrated for the cause of Allah after they had been wronged, we will certainly give them goodly residence in this world. But indeed the reward of the Akhirah would be greater if they but knew. In the world also Allah will give them a place of safety and all that, but the sawab in the Akhirah, that is still much, much greater. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi quoted Hazrat Qatada as saying, what is referred to here is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were oppressed by the mushrikeen in Makkah Mukarrama and expelled until a group of them migrated to Abyssinia. Then Allah Ta'ala granted them a place to which to migrate, meaning Madina Munawara. In another ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Say, Allah Ta'ala is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O my slaves who believe in the oneness of Allah, fear your Rabb and keep your duty to Him. Good is the reward for those who do good in this world. And Allah's earth is spacious. In other words, if you cannot worship Allah Ta'ala in one place, leave it and go to another place. Leave that land, go to another place. Why are you staying there? Leave it and go. But the reason we stay is ثَاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. Oh, my business is here, my house is here, now where am I going to go now? So Sahaba Rinnaunum, they had to leave everything and go for their deen. So a believer is supposed to do that. If you are a minority in a country, it's a non-Muslim country, and now one is you got freedom to practice your deen. Like in our country, by and large, we got many freedoms to practice our deen. We won't say we got all the freedoms, but we got many freedoms. They're not like stifling us as individuals to practice our deen. But if it has to come to that, right, well, they're not allowing you now. They don't want a woman to wear niqab. They say, no, you no more, you can read namaz now. You must close your masjids down now. So must move then. Must leave the country and go. You have to leave your property behind, leave your whatever you bought houses here, and whatever, if you can sell it up, cash up, and go away. Go away to a place where you can practice your deen. Allah Ta'ala's land is vast. Sometime you may not have to leave the country. Where are they going to trouble you? In the cities. So move away to the countryside. You got 5-6 families living there quietly in the countryside. You reading your namaz, you doing your thing. Who's going to come trouble you? You must move away. So Allah Ta'ala's earth is spacious. Only those who are patient shall receive their reward in full without reckoning. Ibn Abbas Rinnanuma said, this refers to Hazrat Ja'far bin Abi Talib and those who went with him to Abyssinia radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu anhu benefited from this hijrat as he gained experience and he learned lessons that would stand him in good stead later in his Mubarak life. Later on when he was become the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalifa, then these lessons would assist him. Stop there. Continue this tomorrow, inshallah.